Open your Bibles if you want to. I'm just going to start off some things. Oh, by the way, I have to kind of introduce ourselves. My name is Taylor Lassiter, the ridiculously good-looking redhead in the back row is my lovely wife, Meredith. She is pregnant. She did not swallow a watermelon, in case you were wondering about that. Also, some of you all actually know Meredith's brother, Daniel Hamilton, who has been coming to group for a while. He's the last couple weeks because he's been skipping out, but actually... He's been on that family vacation in Colorado that we missed out. So I kind of like, oh, okay. I was texting him today. It's like, dude, where you at? I'm at Countryside tonight. He's like, oh, the one night you're there, I'm not. So I told Daniel, though, I had to tell a Daniel story since he's not here. So this is kind of a little bit, some of you do not know this, but actually Meredith was our family's babysitter growing up. Yes, she came and watched our family, especially my punk brother, okay, the redhead if you ever met. But I was 11, Meredith was 16. Okay, do the math in your head. You're like, okay, that's weird. Okay, thank Calvin and Hobbes, but yes, it's true. And Daniel is 2 years older than I am. So we lived in Elgin, a little town outside of Austin back in the day, and I was a fifth grader, and Daniel was like this really tall, like 5'3", seventh grader. Okay, you know, he was like, oh! I was the nerdy kid who couldn't walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. You know, just that uncoordinated and everything. And all the other guys in the church, they were jerks. They honestly were. Okay, but they liked to pick... Weren't they? See, even my wife will tell you they were jerks, okay? Well, the Hamilton family moved to town, and we invited them over for church. And one of these guys who was a jerk, who was the same grade, his name was Nathan. And he was like this big kid. I mean, he was just huge, you know, chunky. Liked to, like, sit on me and stuff like that. Anyway, so Daniel's a new kid, and he starts trash-talking Daniel. And Daniel's like, hey, dude, we can take this outside right now. If you want to. And he was like, no way, you don't want to do that. And he goes, yeah, way. So they walked outside, and Daniel threw Nathan over his back into the flower bed, and he, like, walked back into church with mud all over him. And so Daniel's just kind of, like, dusted himself off, and so I was like, yeah, that's my friend right there. So don't pick on me anymore, Nathan. I got Daniel on my side. So that's the story. You can, that one I can podcast. The other stories I can tell on Daniel. We can't podcast, so I'll have to tell you all those later. But anyway, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. This is the Great Commission that Christ shares with his disciples. Most of you are very familiar with it. Christ says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. All you people who hate ites should love this verse. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hopefully this week during the missions conference and things, you're learning that the word nations, that the root of that is the Greek word ethnos. Okay, where we kind of get the word ethnic from. And nations doesn't necessarily mean like political states, like you've got Russia and Canada and Brazil. Don't go make disciples of those nations, but go make disciples of every people group, every language, every culture. You know, and we've got a bazillion types of people groups even here in Texas, if you think about it. Okay, are Dallas people different than Fort Worth people? Okay, are East Texas people a little different than... Okay, I don't even have to say enough there, okay? You've got you've got the cowboy, you got the punk rocker, you've got the kid from South Lake who thinks he owns the world, you know. Okay. You've got all types of here. But I want to share with you a little bit about what my people group is and who we work with. There's some stats on my people group that I'm a missionary to. Population about 550,000, and these stats are as of 2003. So this has actually gone up a lot since then. Nearly a quarter of this people group is below the poverty level, just kind of whatever the standards are. 40.8% of the births, so all new kids, all right, into this people group, are to unmarried moms, and 5.8%, so 1 in 20, is to an unwed mother, all right, under the age of 18. So this is teenage pregnancies we're talking about here. 60.5% of those are the ethnic minorities in the country. And most of these minorities do not speak the native language. And it's been estimated as high as 1 in 3 girls are victims of abuse. Those are the stats for kids in Dallas County. This is not Afghanistan. This is not Thailand. This is down the street. And so often, you know, when we start thinking about missions, and I know many of you have probably heard this before, we think of missions as far away out there. And we don't realize that the Great Commission starts right next door. These stats are really scary. You know, you could have pulled this out of any war zone and said, here it is, and make news headlines. But that's Dallas County. right there. Pretty scary. So what I want to tell you about is how God has called me to share and to minister to this people group. Meredith, could you give me a huge favor and get me some water? I'm sorry. So I have to drink while I'm teaching here. So enter Awana. Okay, what is Awana? Some of you have perhaps, who has heard of Awana before? Okay, oh good, we got a lot of Awana junkies here. So we're going to have another contest. We're going to tell you a little bit about what Awana is. But first I need y'all can be a team. You three rows can be a team. Y'all in the back are a team. And you over there in the back are a team. We're going to see, you can kind of gang up together and keep score. I've got 10 questions and we'll see how well you do here. Okay, what is Awana? What's the right way to say it? Okay, keep score on your team so you can kind of talk a little bit here. What's the correct way? What answer? Back row, y'all got to work together here a little bit. Y'all look scared. Okay, y'all can talk. Okay, the answer to this question. What is the right way to say it? Is it number one, number two, number three, number four, number five? The correct answer is number five. The correct answer is number five. So keep score, okay? Anybody say five? Yeah, sorry, y'all. Okay, zero. Everybody's got zero. Okay, how many churches in the United States use Awana? How many churches in the United States use Awana? Is it 1,000? These are approximate. 1,000, 3,000, 7,000, 12,000, or 17,000? Okay, who says 1,000? Just curious, be brave. Okay, number 3,000. 7? 12? 17. Correct answer is 12. About 12,000. About 12,000 churches in the United States, so keep score with your team here. After the United States, what country is second in the number of churches using Awana? Is it India, Canada, Nepal, Brazil, Australia, or South Korea? All right, who says India? Canada, Nepal, Brazil, Australia, South Korea. The correct answer is A, India. There are over 1,000 churches in India that are now using Awana. The current rate of growth in the country of India, at the rate they're growing and adding churches that are using Awana, they will pass the United States in 5 years. That's how fast they're growing. The second largest country, the third after India, is Nepal. There are over 500 churches in Nepal that now use Awana. Y'all thought y'all knew everything about Awana, right? Some of you. Brazil, Australia, and South Korea are very low. Canada was number two for a long time, but evangelical Christianity is going down up north, and it's exploding right now in India through Awana. Next question here. Let's see if we can get this baby to work. How many churches in Texas use Awana? How many churches in Texas? Who says 300? 700? 1,100? 1,500? 2,000? Correct answer is 1,100. Approximately 1,100 churches in the state of Texas. So now think of this proportionally. There's how many in the United States? 12,000. We've got about 1,100. We almost have 10% of the churches using Awana in the state of Texas. Kind of an amazing statistic. But also, what's kind of an interesting thing about this, there are over 22,000 evangelical churches in the state of Texas. And I don't know what necessarily who gets to say if you're evangelical or not. But that's just kind of the stat that's thrown out, and about 1,100 of them use Awana. And so the potential for growth in that is a lot more, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Next thing, the program for the youngest children that Awana offers is called A, Sparks, B, Cubbies, C, Puggles, D, Awanabees, or the Crib Christians. Okay, who says Sparks? Who says Cubbies? Who says Puggles? Who says Awanabees? Crib Christians. Yeah, okay. Correct answer is C, Puggles. Puggles. Puggles is now been around for over 2 years. This is for 2-year-olds. This is a pre-Cubbies program. Yes, they actually do learn scripture. There's a lot of playtime that's involved, okay, as well. But, you know, have you ever, for y'all, I saw a bazillion hands stick up with Awana. You remember like the little kid, I want to go to Awana with big brother and sister. That's for this kid now. So this can also be used in your church's nursery program for two-year-olds and stuff. So just kind of an interesting thing. What is a puggle? I don't know if this is technically correct, but I think it's a baby platypus is a puggle. So that's what I've been told. Don't know if it's 100% true or not. So next thing here. Awana, as an organization, when did it begin? 1938, 1950, 1963, 75, or 92? Who says 38? 50? 63? 75? 92? Correct answer is 1950. Many people do not know this, but actually Awana is one of the oldest children's ministry organizations around. Now in evangelical Christianity, there's 50 bajillion kids programs out there. There are, okay? There's a ton. But when Awana began in 1950, we were the only kid on the block. And people said, what? You want to do what with kids? They don't do that. Anyway, so next question. Many of you know this, but Awana actually has a strong youth ministry arm. It's called, 24/7 Ministries. I know. It's an original name, isn't it? Okay. When do many people know about Awana from kind of Cubby, Sparks, TNT? Here actually at Countryside, y'all do have Trek and Journey, which is a junior high and high school program. But when did Awana first start doing junior high and high school ministry? 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s? Who says 50s? 60s? 70s? 80s? 90s? Okay, he's Googling. Correct answer is the 1950s. Many people do not know this, but Sparks didn't come around until about 1974. Okay? When Awana first began, okay, we had a bunch of Awana junkies. What's the last thing you say on the Awana song? Youth on the March. Okay? It's not Kindergartners on the March. Okay? It was originally a youth ministry program. Kind of an interesting statistic. Cubbies didn't start until the 80s. And so kind of different there. Puggles started 2 years ago. Puggles is pretty new. Here's the hard one. About how many denominations use Awana in their local church? 22, 37, 69, 81, 94, 106, or 127? Who says 22? I know, I wanted to mix you up on this one. 37, 69, 81, 94, 106, 127... Correct answer is 106. There are it kind of goes up and down. Like we'll have a couple denominations with like one church in it, and then we'll like add one or drop one. But it generally runs around 106. A lot of you probably like, I didn't know there were that many denominations. I thought there were like 20. There's like Baptist, there's Bible. Okay. There's like a bajillion Baptist churches out there if you didn't know that. So within Baptist, you've got Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, American Baptist, you've got Free Will Baptist, you've got, you know, Missionary Baptist. There's a ton of them. But this is always interesting because a lot of people say, really? That many denominations? One thing that is interesting about Awana is that we don't tell a local church what to do. We're strong believers in the autonomy of the local church. And so what we do as an organization is say, hey, here's our stuff. Here's what we believe. Here's what we teach. You can either agree to use it or you can agree not to. And so some churches who probably Countryside wouldn't get along with, okay, can use Awana because they say, hey, we look, all right, at this statement and we can teach that, okay, in our church. There are actually two or three Methodist churches in Texas that have Awana because they're very evangelically oriented. They're like, hey, just because the sign on our building is Methodist, we want to still reach kids with the gospel. And we're like, hey, if you want to see kids come to trust Christ as their Savior, and you want to teach them the things of God, go for it. Okay, we're not going to change our stuff. We don't change what we teach. But if you can use that, great. Go for it. So that's always an interesting question there. How many churches in Dallas-Fort Worth use Awana in their church? It feels like it sometimes. Now, you got to remember there's approximately 1,100 in the state of Texas. Who says 120? 180? 210, 300, 380, 10 bajillion or whatever that is. Okay, 100 bajillion. Correct answer is about 300. Around 300 in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex and kind of surrounding communities. Oh. It kind of sometimes depends on what county, you know, if you count this, is this DFW, is it not, you know, but roughly 250 to 300 churches in Dallas-Fort Worth. Now, with that question, about how many Awana missionaries could we use in the state of Texas? Now, I haven't told you what an Awana missionary is yet or what we do, but how many missionaries could we use in Texas? Ah, that's a very good question. We currently have... Okay. We have... Yeah. We have six. Yeah, four is out. And so is eight. Okay, hopefully you're not that dumb. Okay. 12, 16, or 20? 20. Correct answer is 20. We could use about 20 total missionaries in the state of Texas. Right now we're at about six. Let's just break that down, just numbers-wise. How many churches were in Texas? 1,100. Let's just go ahead and round that up to 1,200 and divide by six. How many churches is one guy trying to take care of? Is that possible? No. How many days are in a year? Okay. Do the math here a little bit. I know it's Wednesday night, but school's still back in session, things like that. There are a lot of churches that use Awana, and there's a lot of kids in the state of Texas who need to hear about the atoning worth of Jesus Christ and how they can be saved by putting their faith and trust in Him. Another number that's not up here is that there's about 6.3 million kids in the state of Texas. That's more kids in Texas than there are people in Norway. Okay? More kids in Texas than there are people in Norway. And that number continues to grow. We're having more kids in Texas than there's more people dying in Norway than there is having kids. So, yeah, there's a little bit about that. But actually, if you took kids in the state of Texas and made them their own country, all right, they would rank about number 100 as far as population of countries in the world. Kind of an interesting thing right there. What is Awana? We've been talking about it. Let me just tell you what it is. The name Awana came from the verse 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that really is our prayer, that you tonight and these kids will come to study God's word, so that way when they stand before God, that they can say, "Hey, Lord, you know, I'm not ashamed of what I've done. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but I'm approved because I've followed what your word says." And so that's kind of where the name Awana comes from. What is it? Let's see here. What is this? Our prayer. Just every organization kind of has a vision, mission statement. How many, you know, do y'all have a vision statement at Fidelity or something like that? What is it? Oh, okay. All right. BJ, do y'all have one at your work or what is it? You don't know? Okay. Anybody know theirs? Just out of curiosity. It's usually something really dumb. Okay. Okay, ours is better. Our prayer, our vision, our mission, okay, is that all children and youth throughout the world will come to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just knowing the facts about Him in their head, just to kind of where we've pounded a ton of data into this little six-year-old's brain, okay, but where they really come to love Christ as their Savior. And that the facts get down to where their heart, like it says in the book of Jeremiah, has changed from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. But also not keeping that change of heart inside, but actually putting it out to practice, where they're coming to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? The more we know about God, okay, some of y'all are like, you've done this before, right? You are? Okay. The more we come to know about Christ, the more we come to love Him. You know, the more we understand His Word, you know, the more our heart is softened towards Him, where we do come to love Him. And the more we love Him, the more we should desire to serve Him. And you know what? The more we serve Him, the more we will get to know Him. And that process then continues. So our prayer, this is for Awana as an organization, but we break that down in Texas, that our prayer is that all kids and youth, all 6.3 million of them, will come to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Who are we? That's us. Taylor and Meredith Lassiter. We serve as Awana missionaries. Now, what does an Awana missionary do? There's three main things kind of that we do, and we'll get into more details as we go on. The first thing is that we help new Awana clubs get started. I told you there's about 22,000 evangelical churches in the state of Texas, and 1,100 of them have Awana. Well, we get phone calls all the time from these people. It's like, can you tell us about this Awana thing? And you come out here, and so we'll have to go out there, and we'll help present Awana to the church, kind of get their leadership in place and get them trained and kind of roll in the first year. The next thing that we do is help care for existing Awana clubs. The church says, hey, we've got this Awana thing, but it ain't working, okay? No kid is working on their handbook. They're not memorizing God's Word. Kids aren't getting saved. What's broke, okay? So we'll come out and help show them, say, hey, here's ideas how you can use some techniques to put these things into practice better. And the third thing is host outreach events. And this is actually Meredith and I's primary ministry, is hosting outreach-oriented events across North Texas. One other thing that people always ask is they say, do you have another job? Do you do something else on the side? No, we are actually full-time faith-supported missionaries from a local church. I've actually been sent out from my local church in Lubbock. Meredith's church commissioned us as well together because I was single when they sent us out, so now we're both been sent out. And we don't receive any money from Awana headquarters. A lot of people think, oh, we buy books, we buy uniforms, we do things like that. So some of that money should help missionaries. Actually, no. We get supported from individuals and churches to do our ministry. And not just our personal expenses like, you know, housing and salary and medical insurance, which is outrageous, man. Okay, if you're in college and you aren't paying medical insurance, enjoy it, man. Then also all of our ministry expenses. We have to raise money for gas to put in the car to drive all across Texas. We have to buy our displays. We have to, pay for our phone bill and for internet and things like that. So imagine if your pastor was having to try to raise money not just to live on, but also all the money to operate the church. That's kind of what we have to do a little bit. But the neat thing about that is that we actually don't work for Awana. So when headquarters says, do this, we can kind of say, you're not paying me anything to do that. But we can serve a local church. So if a church says, hey, we need help, come help us, that's who we answer to first and foremost above Awana headquarters. So that's kind of just a neat thing to say. We actually work for the church, not for the boss in Chicago. Let's see here. Come on, work for me thing. There we go. What is Awana? We like to say that Awana is a parachurch ministry. Does anybody know what a parachurch ministry is? What, you're nodding your head in the white. Sorry, I don't know you. You want to come finish teaching? You're good. So, okay. Really, that's what it means. The word para is kind of a Greek prefix, and it means to come alongside. When we typically think of parachurch ministries, we think of groups like FCA and Campus Crusade and Navigators and some other fantastic groups, but a lot of them actually work independent of a local church. Awana is unique in a ministry that we actually come alongside a local church and help them out in their mission and give them tools, ideas, resources, training, so the church can accomplish its mission rather than we're just like an outside thing that happens to meet in the church's building. Does that kind of make sense a little bit? So if anybody ever says, like, oh yeah, Awana, isn't that like Christian Boy Scouts? Okay, or Girl Scouts? Anybody heard that? Okay, I hear it all the time. You know it? You're nodding your head? Okay. The answer is no. It's a ministry arm of our local church. So it's not something that comes meets in the building. It's part of what we do. Other thing. Now, what typically happens at an Awana club? This is something that your local church would have, like the Sparks that Drew was talking about. Y'all meet actually on Sunday evenings. I've done that for a long time. And there's three main elements that happen for an Awana club. I like to say that Awana is a lot like a three-legged stool. If you yank one of the legs out, the whole stool falls apart. And so these three elements happen typically at a local church. The first is a game time, which is just where you have fun. Then the idea is to bring kids in from the neighborhood and friends to your church. It's not really supposed to be an organized recess. A lot of churches fall into that trap. Really, it should be something your church is saying, hey, how can we have so much fun that kids are wanting to come to church? Okay, what can we do? How can we make it crazy enough? How can we make it fun enough that they want to come? Okay, and then how can we keep the ones we already got? The second element is what we call a large group time. This is where the kids meet based on their age, kind of like we are here, with songs, announcements, things like that. And the Bible message happens during that time. And we always encourage churches to bring back the Bible message to the gospel. Because the first priority of Awana is sharing the gospel. And you never know when a kid who comes to your church is never going to be back. Or they're a guest or a friend. So you always bring it back to Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that you should have the Easter sermon every week. Like, some of you are like, come on, would you please do something else? Okay? No, it doesn't mean that, but we should always bring it back to the gospel, because that's what Paul says. It says the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is life to those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's large group time. Some of y'all actually call it council time. I don't know if anybody's heard that. Large group time is kind of the word they're using. Drew, you got a quick comment? You can pop them. Yeah, I'm all for questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. Yeah. We don't actually go to churches and teach the lesson. That's a good comment. And I know most of you who've been in Awana were like, duh, we've never seen you before. So, all right, that's why we know it's not true. But we do have a lot of training. Actually, this last week we had our fall conference where we had about 800 Awana leaders from across Dallas Fort Worth come together. And we taught workshops on how you can teach your kids back in your local club. Or we get a call from someone who's saying, hey, this isn't working, why is it not? And then we can kind of work through them and say, hey, here's what, just some good techniques, okay? If you got 30 minutes, don't preach to five-year-olds for 30 minutes, okay? They can't sit still for 30 minutes, and you're not that good, okay? Maybe you could do it for 2 weeks, but not for an entire year. So we work with them, and again, that whole concept that Awana doesn't come into a local church, but we give them tools and resources so they can go do the work. Okay, God hasn't commissioned Awana to go save the world. God's commissioned the church. Okay, and we help the church in their mission. Okay, and then the third element is actually the handbook time, the Bible memorization. This is what most of you are probably familiar with, the verse recitation stuff. Awana is also not just a Bible memory club. Okay, it's not, let's just come together and say verses, and that's all it is, and we get awards and stickers and things like that. It's important, but really the priority should be that second time, the large group time in the evangelism. Because if someone doesn't know Christ as their Savior, can they really understand the truths of God's Word and what it really says? No, because their heart is like stone. It says that their eyes are darkened to understand the truths of God's Word. So evangelism is the first priority. The second priority is the discipleship and understanding things. We're going to click through these things actually pretty quick here so we can kind of get to a meat of what we do. When you break down Awana to five core things, what do we really stand for? These are called the five principles of Awana. The first thing is that Awana is centered on the gospel. I've said it before, but everything in your local church should tie back to the gospel. And I want you to think, to some of you who've maybe done Awana before or been experienced, it's like, do we hear the gospel preached and proclaimed in our club? Or do we just kind of go through the motions? Are we mechanical? Or are we really saying, Lord, you know what? We really want to trust you to see kids come to know Christ this year. And when you work with your clubbers in your group, are you saying, hey, do you know what it means to trust Christ as your Savior? Okay, are you 100% sure that you are going to spend eternity with God in heaven? Okay, everything should tie back to the gospel. That's our number one thing. The second thing is scripture memory. Now, one question we always get is how many verses do kids memorize? Thought I'd throw these up for you here. This is a couple years old, so it might be varying just a little bit. But if anybody work in TNT, I'm just curious. Okay. In TNT, over 4 years, they'll memorize over 309 verses. Sparkies, any Sparky people in here? Okay, Sparks, okay, you got 165. We always ask, why does it kind of taper off in junior high school a little bit? Because then the priority is more on discipleship and helping students learn how to study God's Word, how to understand it more, rather than just like rote memory of chunks of Scripture. So that's a little bit of that. I honestly have not memorized 309 verses over the last 4 years. And I think it's really awesome how we can use different tools and techniques to have God's Word, which is eternal, in the hearts of kids. That later on in their life, okay, maybe that little sticker or a word they got, that doesn't matter, I think. but God's word will never return void, and it'll accomplish the purpose that God sent it for. So that's part of the scripture memory in there. Other things, we're going to skip that here. The other three is exciting, okay? We try to keep things exciting in our club. When you're six, it's simple. If it's fun, if it's good. If it's boring, it's bad, right? It doesn't matter if you're 6 or 16 or 26, right? Okay, fun is good, boring is bad. So if we go to church and it's boring, what do we think? Church is bad, but if church is fun, good. So thank you. You're awake. Y'all still look like you need some Starbucks desperately here. You know, this is part of what we do as our ministry's outreach missionaries is having fun and helping a local church be more effective in fun. You know, what is it going to take? Is it just going to be playing human pinball every week? Okay, maybe something more than that. We also host special events such as Bible quizzing, Awana Games, used to be called the Awana Olympics. Maybe some of you did that before. Summit, which is our national high school competition, Grand Prix, store, theme nights, fun things like that. So we've got centered on the gospel, importance of scripture memory, fun, and number four is training youth to serve. Okay, how old do you have to be to serve in the church? Okay, like out of diapers. Okay, hopefully, because then you're more trouble than... never mind. Okay, we want to be training youth to serve. A lot of churches, and I know Countryside doesn't usually fall into this trap, but a lot of them think, oh, we got to wait until you're 18 to serve in a church. We say, no, you're walking, you're 9, here, you can hand out bulletins. Okay, maybe you can just show up early, erase the marker boards, or help set up chairs or things like that. When Scripture talks about serving and things, it doesn't say, oh, when you're older, then you get to do this. This was actually part of my testimony, is that when I was going to college, that I knew that God had called me to missions. And I knew that God had called me to serve with Awana. But it was always something, oh, I'll do that one day. You know, after college, maybe after seminary, after I've worked for a couple years and got some life experience. Well, someone talked to me and says, hey, you know that passage in Isaiah 6:8, you know, hear my Lord, send me? That Isaiah said. Isaiah didn't say, here, my Lord, send me after seminary or after a couple years of work or after I've done this. It was, here, my God, send me now. And so in our churches and in our Awana clubs, we want to say, hey, when it says, here, my, send me, that means, here, my, send me now, not in the future. Number five is that Awana is built on leadership. And this is partly a little bit of where you come in and your church comes in. What Drew was saying about Awana doesn't come into a church and teach. It's actually the leaders in the church. The success of a church's evangelism and discipleship is built on how strong their leadership is. And Meredith and I have seen this time and time again. We like to do what we call club hopping. Every Wednesday night where we'll go to a bunch of different Awana clubs. And, okay, some of you are like, I was homeschooled. I don't get that. That's okay. All right. but we'll go visit different Awana clubs. And when there's strong leadership, okay, when there are people who say, hey, you know, we're here not to just go through the motions, not to just wear a dorky uniform and play so we cannot be in church, but we're really here to share the gospel with kids. We're really here to teach them God's word. Then that club's going to thrive and it's going to have success, okay? So think about you in your church, you know, how strong is our leadership and how much of a testimony am I being to these younger kids, perhaps, that I work with. You know, we teach kids, say, hey, memorizing God's word is important, but how often do we as leaders memorize God's word? And we say, hey, you know, studying God's word and, you know, having a quiet time, that's important, but do we do that as well? We have to be a testimony to those that we work with. Now, here's a what is an Awana missionary? Kind of a little bit more in-depth of what we do. Hope before I get into this, any questions kind of what Awana is as an organization, kind of what happens on a local church every Sunday or Wednesday night, some things like that. Yes? Yeah. Good question. Actually, that is kind of an interesting story in the history of Awana. When we first began as an organization, it was, here's our doctrinal statement, this is what we teach. And they said, yeah, we understand that. Then in the 80s, somebody else came into leadership and said, hey, here's our doctrinal statement, and now if you are this, 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 and this, you can't have it. What we happened in 2000 is we went back to our original statement, because again it says, hey, there's a lot of churches that are evangelical that believe that God's Word is inerrant and inspired and believe in the gospel as Scripture teaches, and so why are we saying they can't reach their kids? So that's kind of a little bit about where that came from. Often what happens though is if someone doesn't agree with the stuff that we teach, they start looking through the books and then they start saying, this really isn't for our church. So it kind of takes care of itself in that sense with things. So that's an interesting question. Okay, y'all, man, we're gonna have Starbucks right afterwards, I'm sure. Okay, what is an Awana missionary? You know what happens at an Awana club. You know what happens kind of on a night and what we do. There's three major things that an Awana missionary does. Remember, 1,100 churches in the state of Texas. Around 250-300 in Dallas-Fort Worth. The first thing that a missionary does is called development. Okay, and can you say it with me, Sparkies? Development. Very good. Okay, and that's helping those new churches start Awana. Typically in Texas, we see about a 6% increase annually in churches starting Awana. Okay, do the math. That's 60 or 70 churches every year that are trying to start Awana. We have a lot of drops as well, and so the number kind of flatlines a little bit. But that's a lot of people. And so churches say, hey, we need training. What's this about? How do these books work? What's Awana? What makes you different than something else? And so a development missionary will go help a new church get started. Also, helps bridge some denominational lines. Perhaps at Awana, maybe a denomination is conservative and evangelical but hasn't used the Awana ministry before in the past, the development missionary kind of helps work into that denominational structure a little bit. In Texas, I said we could use 20 missionaries. We could use 3 more development missionaries in the state of Texas, and at least 1 more in Dallas-Fort Worth. As I said, about 60 or 70 churches starting. I think we have 2 development people. Typically, we like to go visit a church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or something like that when a lot of people are there to kind of introduce it and help them going. So that's a lot of time on the road, especially at this kind of what a development missionary does. The next thing, church care. What do you think that means? Caring for the churches. Good, Drew. You're a smart boy. Caring for churches. This is churches like Countryside and those other 300 where we'll go club hopping. Just show up and just kind of walk around with their Awana commander, who's the guy in charge of the night, and say, hey, you know, have you thought about maybe doing this? Here's a way you can be more effective. Or, oh man, y'all are doing this fantastic right here, you know, keep it up. Or, oh boy, y'all need help. Okay. And we'll kind of help do that, give that church some training and things like that. Ideally, a church care missionary, will serve about 75 to 100 churches. That's not happening right now because we have more churches than we have missionaries. But typically a missionary can visit every church annually if they've got about 75 or 100. Because some of them meet on Sunday nights, some meet on Wednesday nights, so you could do 2 or 3 in a week, you know, visiting around the year. We could use 10 more church care missionaries in the state of Texas. With 1,100 churches, I think we've got 3 church care missionaries. Do the math, we want to grow, et cetera. We could use 5 more in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Just here in this vicinity, we could probably use 5 church care missionaries. Yeah? That's a good question. It used to be with Awana, some of you, anybody remember Martin Recknitzer, the guy? Okay, a bunch of y'all remember him. Okay, it used to be that a missionary had a territory, and they did all 3 of these roles for that one territory, kind of like a pastor at a small independent church out in the middle of nowhere. Okay, you're a one-man show, you do everything. What we've done is combine a lot of those territories to a region where there's multiple missionaries serving as a team, kind of based on their specialty, sort of like a larger church like Countryside, where you've got the senior teaching pastor, you've got Seth doing music, you've got Justin doing youth. You know, each one kind of has their specialty and things like that. So our region that we serve is called North Texas, which is basically if you take I-20 north, okay? We don't do Midland-Odessa, but we have Lubbock-Amarillo, Wichita Falls, Dallas-Fort Worth, Tyler, Longview, Texarkana, and everything in between. That's 13 and a half hours from like Dalhart to Wascom. Okay? All right, across the spectrum. And a bunch of different people. Bunch of different those people groups and things that we serve. So in North Texas, we could use about five more of those church care missionaries with that. And the third thing is doing outreach. This is, again, what Meredith and I do. We train and coordinate volunteers to run outreach events. Awana Bible Quiz. Who's been to Awana Bible Quiz? Okay, a bunch of y'all don't know, so this is good. This is where kids from different churches come together and compete in the verses that they've been working on in their handbooks. There's three types of Bible quizzing. There's a written, where they kind of fill in the blank with a test. There's a multiple choice, where they've got like an A, B, and a C in a box. Someone reads the question, then they'll hold up A, B, or C based on what they think the answer is. And the third is a speed, where they've got a button like on Jeopardy. I think that's what y'all do. Y'all just do speed? Is that what you do? Yeah. So for some 8-year-olds, speed freaks them out. So we have, you know, the other types of quizzing as well, and we put them all together for that. The Awana Games and Sparks-A-Rama used to be called the Olympics. I know Edwin told me y'all used to go and, you know, kick some booty over in L.A., right? This is where churches come together and compete in a set of 10 for older clubbers, 7 for the Sparkies games. And we kind of have like a tournament playoff bracket thing to where if they win, they advance to see who's the championship team. And every single one of these events, we share the gospel. And Meredith and I had an opportunity this last year to share the gospel with about 2,500 people at these Awana events. I don't like to keep count of who raised the hand or come forward because really God knows the heart. But it is kind of think, wow, we got to share with 2,500 people over this last year. And our goal is to see if we can hit 3,500 this next year and just grow these events and things. We could use 2 more missionaries to do outreach, to help coordinate volunteers and things across the state of Texas, and 1 more in Dallas-Fort Worth. Meredith and I are responsible for Bible Quiz, Awana Games, Sparks-A-Rama, and Amarillo, Lubbock, Wichita Falls, Dallas-Fort Worth, Tyler, Longview, Texarkana. We've got a team of about 40 or 50 people across the state that help us do that. And that's actually where the primary focus of our ministry is. A lot of people think that an Awana missionary spends a lot of time working with kids. We don't. We hardly ever work with kids. The majority of our time is spent training and developing adult leaders who then work with the kids. So if some of you are like, oh, this kind of sounds neat or whatever, but not my thing. Okay, that's really what we do, is work with old people. All right, and that is actually very true. How can you get involved? We have a unique opportunity, I think, compared to other missionaries, because most missionaries are off in Zambia, Papua New Guinea, you know, Croatia, somewhere like that. We're 20 minutes up the road. Okay, I actually lived at Drew's house, so that's pretty local. That most missionaries, all that you can do for them is kind of send money and pray or raise awareness. You've got an opportunity here to help get involved with what God has called us to. 3 things that you could do to help us out. The first thing is joining what we call our Awana ministry team. This is someone who does a bunch of different things. You're just saying, hey, I'm a volunteer. I can take out a couple Saturdays or some time during the day to help out with something that I'm good at. You can serve existing Awana clubs. We can give you 5 or 6 churches and say, hey, can you just go visit these churches? Just check in on them, see how they're doing. You know, if they need help, give us a call, and we'll get some training to them and things like that. You can help run Awana events, okay? Maybe as a scorekeeper or a line judge, help with preparation, publicity, things like that. You can also possibly help us out with our Awana Texas website. I'm like the only guy that's computer literate among the missionaries in Texas. Most of them don't know how to use spell check before they put something online. So this is our next project for the next couple weeks, is working on the Awana Texas website. And also our database. We've got stuff, information for these 1,100 churches, but most of it's like 4 or 5 years old. So we're constantly working on our database. So if you're like, I can do behind-the-scenes work, but I can't get up in front of people, we could use you. If you're like, don't give me records ever, okay, we can use you as well. The next thing is also as a youth ministry specialist. This is actually someone who is part of the ministry team. You go through the process and you help with stuff like that, but specifically you would work with youth ministry, with junior high and high school students. Of those 1,100 churches in Texas, about 150 of them use our junior high and high school resources. and we want to see that grow. What that looks like is helping shepherd the ones who are there. A lot of them have the stuff but don't know how to do it. So we give you training so you can go train those other churches. And also, a lot of youth pastors have a stereotype that Awana's all about little kids in gray uniforms and vests as just saying verses all day long. Okay? It's true, isn't it? It is true. And really, what we're trying to communicate is that that's not what Awana is all about, that we're providing tools and resources for a youth pastor or for a youth worker to reach their kids where they're at based on their situation. So that's what a youth ministry specialist would do. And the third thing is pray about becoming an Awana missionary. I knew when I was in college that God had not called me to international missions. I was like, I've been on mission trips, I've gone, it's great, it's just not my thing. I love international stuff, but it's not where God's called me. And He placed me here. Remember that people group that I was telling you about? Those kids here in Dallas-Fort Worth, they need to hear the gospel. Mark 16:15 also records the Great Commission, where Christ tells His disciples to go and preach the gospel to every what? Does anybody know? It's every creature. Yeah, okay, I heard that. Are kids creatures? Yeah, Drew's like, yeah, they're creatures. I know they're creatures. Yeah, kids are creatures. And kids need to hear the gospel. And churches need to know how to do it. So that's what we do as Awana missionaries. Also, most of the Awana missionaries across the country are old. Meredith and I are the youngest missionaries in the nation by 9 years. They're three in their 30s. Most of them are in their 50s or 60s. And most of our ministry team volunteers that I've told you about are about 60. And they'll show up at the Awana events like, yep, I've been doing this for 28 years. Oh, my back, I can't do this anymore. It's true, right, honey? Okay? It's true, okay? And we really are praying that the Lord will raise up another generation of people our age who'll say, you know what? This is a way that I can share the gospel in my town, in my community, in a way that is strategically effective. And there's also internships and extended service opportunities if you like, maybe I kind of want to know more about this and things like that. As we're wrapping up, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, familiar verses says, you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem was the city they lived. It was where they were. It was their South Lake or Keller, or wherever you are. Are you being a missionary here, in your hometown and what you're doing? Find a way to serve in your local church. Find a way to be active. Share with people that you interact with at work and things. Judea was your geographic region. It was the people who said, howdy, y'all. There were the people who said, you want something to drink? And they say, yeah, Coke. And you say, you want Dr. Pepper? And you're like, yeah, right. Okay, you understand that, the whole thing going on there? But this was their people. They knew who they were. But Samaria was also the people they didn't like. Okay? Sooners. Oh, no, sorry. Okay. The religious and social outcasts. Kids in local churches are often the Samaritans. It's like they're kind of over here. Get them out of the way so we can go do important church. George Barna, church researcher, says that when a kid between the ages of 4 and 14 hears the gospel, they have a 34% chance likelihood of responding. I don't know where he comes up with that statistic or whatever, but let's just use it. 34%. By the time they hit 18 and up, it goes to 6%. If we're to make disciples of all nations, let's be effective in what we're doing and reach kids, because that's where it starts. So, any questions about what we do with Awana? Kind of what an Awana missionary does, kind of give you a little bit of a different outlook about some things. We always get questions, what does a typical week look like sometimes? A lot of email, probably a couple hundred emails a week. We taught at a conference Saturday, about 800 Awana leaders. Had about a conference with about 100 of them last night in Lubbock, drove in today. We've put on about 25,000 miles on the car since December, since we got it. We'll be at a children's pastors conference tomorrow in Frisco. So we're traveling a lot. Please be praying for us. Just pray for us with baby on the way, with the time in the car, and especially these Awana events. We're going to be pouring a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of resources, and please be praying that God will use them to have kids and parents trust Christ as their Savior this year. And just be a witness in your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and just pray how God could possibly use you in the Awana ministry, whether it's here in your local church or serving on a ministry team or, who knows, perhaps being an Awana missionary one day. So, any other thoughts, questions, snide remarks? Yeah. We leave that up to the local church. Awana prints their handbooks in King James, New King James, and NIV. The verses I had up there were King James because they're generic, and I can go to any church and use King James and nobody gets mad at me. If I use NIV, some people might not be too happy with that, so that's why I've used King James. We print in those three versions, not in ESV or American Standard or anything, not because they're bad translations, but just from a product marketing standpoint, it'd be ridiculous trying to keep track of books in 18 different translations and things like that. But about, I think it's about 50% of the churches that use Awana use NIV, and then about 25% New King James, another 25% King James. So, roughly. And the New King James is slowly disappearing to the NIV. So. Yeah? Actually, if you put down the number of verses that they learn, it's actually just about the same. The earlier books, like book 1 and 2, there's a couple less. In book 3 and 4, there's actually more. But there's more on helping kids understand it. Because how long does it take a kid to go, boo, 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 got it, okay? Not long, okay? But we say, whoa, 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 slow down. What does that mean? How do you put that into practice? What is that verse saying about God, the Bible, life, Christ, okay? That's kind of a little bit more of the things with that. And also, TNT is going to be changing big time next year for 5th and 6th grade. So if you're a TNT later, we'll tell you more about that. So. Yeah. That's fine. I know you. You should have, but you didn't. That's fine. We still love you. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually very good. And that's another question. Is it Sandy? Okay, that's what I was like. I thought it was Sandy. So actually, there is a lot of review. Not every single verse is reviewed, but a lot of the key, I'll just say important ones, the ones that really that you can base a lot of truth and doctrine on, those are reviewed consistently. So say an 8-year-old kid is in truth and training. They're working through book 1. They'll get through their first 7 sections, which is a set of how many verses, and they'll say, okay, good job, you finished those, now let's review the last 4. Okay, and then they'll go on and say, oh yeah, remember that one that you learned earlier this year? Let's say it again. So there is a lot of repetition and a lot of reminder on it. By the end of year 4, I don't think any kid can spit out all 309 verses, but they're there, and God can bring them whenever He wants. But if you put people on the spot, you'd be surprised how many of them, even if they couldn't just quote it, but are familiar with them. And be like, oh yeah, I know this, it's somewhere and it's really close to that. And some of you who've been in Awana before are like, yeah, I can't tell you all my verses over again. But you're very familiar with them. And when you see it again, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that one. So. Y'all should see yourselves. thanks again just so much for letting me share. We'll just go ahead and close off in prayer and hand it back over to Drew and BJ. So Father, thank you for tonight. Just thank you for allowing me to come share a little bit about our ministry and what happens at a local church, but also in the statewide ministry, and just how we're praying that you will raise up more missionaries and more ministry team members, and just churches who are excited about seeing kids come to know Christ as their Savior and grow in the things of God and to understand His Word. We lift up the rest of tonight to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.